Hello and welcome back to another off-season episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I'm one half of your host and crew, Wes Hollis, and joining you from the heart of Dallas, Texas, Walker Lott, my fantastic co-host of 4 years now, is joining us from College Station, a place that I, with each passing day, wish that I was still a part of. Walker, number one, how are you? Number two, what have you felt about the current climate of private school football in the off-season?
Man, it's been crazy, you know, transfer news is the biggest thing nowadays, and we're hearing all this, seeing all the offers go out to kids. It's been awesome. It's been good times, man. Actually, basketball state championships are going on right now. I know that. Shout out, I'll say, Midland Christian ended up with the championship for 5A. I know in 4A, I forget where, 4A was St. Thomas Episcopal. And I just pulled this up. That's why I know. And I will also give a great shout out to my girls basketball team from SES winning the 5A state championship. So shout out to them. Congratulations. I think they've beaten like Second Baptist like 3 years in a row. Like every time we play them, it's rough for Second Baptist, but shout out to them.
Oh,
but
don't do Second Baptist like that.
I remember when we were covering them back in the day, I think they also lost the second or beat Second Baptist then. So anyways, shout out to the girls over there. Big bang things.
Dude, that's a core memory. That was the first event that we all went to together. I think me, you, and Ryan, because the basketball state championships were in College Station. That was right when Texas was starting to open back up. It's like the first sporting event after COVID that had fans. It was just wild.
That was a fun time. That was really, really. And then we did the whole pod episode together that I don't know if that same day or the next day.
Yeah, it was the next day.
Yeah, it was cool.
The only live episode we've ever had.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, no, it's all that to say, quick detour down memory lane, just old men reminiscing about their wild youth. But yeah, no, it's fun. We've got some interesting stuff to talk about today. We're going to get into, you know, kind of the TAPS SBC transfer portal, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say in my life, but here we are. Again, not to say it's not a bad thing, it's not a great thing. It's the way that it is. And honestly, I mean, we're here to talk about it. It brings good and bad things like anything else does.
And it's not just private school. You just saw North Shore get busted not that long ago about transfer portal stuff. So
I saw some snarky comments about that on Twitter that made me laugh. And it's just like, you bring up a good point. I'll talk about this more later, but private schools do get a bad rap for, you know, stealing kids and stuff like this. Newsflash, every school steals kids. It's just the way that it is. But anyways, we'll get into that. We're also going to get into a way too early top 10 list, which again, based on the information we have, we decided to make it, not to say these are how these teams are going to finish, but just kind of a sneak preview of what our thoughts are on squads going into the season. But before we get into that, some housekeeping. Number one, a really, really cool thing that's going to be coming up, and I think as many coaches should get to as possible, Coach Washington from Brazos Christian is hosting a private school coaches clinic. I think this is something that's long overdue for the sport and is really, really beneficial. It's going to be an opportunity to network, fellowship, and talk football with like-minded private school coaches in Texas. All coaches are welcome. The structure of it, there's going to be a 1 hour lecture with 20 minute breakout sessions on spiritual development, culture, offensive and defensive schemes by high school and college coaches. It's going to be at Waco Live Oak on either June 3rd or 4th, which is around TAPSCon, or July 15th and 16th. They're working out the dates for that, but there should be a link in our show notes that you can click on in the description if you're interested in it. We also might be there. I would love to get down there. Just kind of give a little talk on our thoughts on where private school football is, just because I don't know. Walker, you're like me. I love being able to be around like-minded people like that and get to talk about kind of the direction things are going. I've just talked a lot about this. What are your thoughts on this? I think it's fantastic.
No, I think it's awesome, man. I think, you know, I forget what they have. I think it's like DESCA. I think that's what it is for public school. But
yeah,
I think it's an absolutely great thing that, you know, we should have and get people to talk ball and then also talk about how we can improve the game and stuff like that. And if we're there, we can share our thoughts if they want us to about like kind of where it is on the media side of things. And also just get to know a lot of y'all, because a lot of y'all, we haven't been able to come out to games, but we want to shake your hand, come introduce ourselves and, you know, grow the community like we've wanted to since day one. So I think it's a great thing.
Absolutely. No, I'll say forever. One of the best things that we did, which was Walker's idea a few years ago, is before we even started covering games, we took that little tour around the state and went basically did a bunch of podcasts and met a bunch of people with schools from around the state. And that's one of the single best things that we've ever done because it gave us connections to a lot of coaches and players around the state. This is kind of the same type thing. I've said it before, I've said it a million times. It's a stronger together type of situation. Whenever you foster these connections within schools, it just makes everyone within private school stronger as a whole. I think it's a great opportunity. There will be more information coming in the coming weeks, so keep an eye out for that. But Coach Washington's Private School Coaches Clinic, keep an eye out for it. I think it's going to be fantastic. Another thing, Lyon College reached out and they wanted us to promote. They are hosting a camp May the 31st in partnership with Fort Worth Christian. It's going to be May the 31st, 2024, at Fort Worth Christian, 5 to 8 p.m. Costs $50, and all class of 25 to 28 athletes are welcome. If you want to register for that, you visit lionfootballcamps.com. Again, another great opportunity for kids that want to get out there, get exposure. I think it's a fantastic opportunity. Walker, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, when I was in high school, sometimes I was kind of being real, like I was scared I wasn't ready to go compete against other people outside of just the game. And I think sometimes like this is, you know, camps that you just go get some work in and get better, learn and be able to be in that competitive environment. Because if you want to go play at the next level, being able to go to these camps and be competitive and know how to compete is a really good thing. And go, you never know. One college connection can help you down the line. And that's honestly really true where if a coach really likes you one place, that can help you with your career of any other place you want to go to. So go get some work in. Go. I mean, Coach Roby over there is kind of the helping over there at Fort Worth Christian. And I mean, I trust him with my, if I was a player, I would trust him with my recruitment. So he knows what he's doing over there. Go enjoy Lyon College. Appreciate Lyon College for reaching out and wanting to promote private school sports and having us come over there. So
Yeah, and I will say, I think camp, something that's so beneficial with camps, and it's different now because in today's kind of era of football, there's a lot more, you know, travel 7-on-7 and camp circuit type stuff, even than when we were in high school. So it might not apply. But a lot of the times in practice, when you're getting reps against your own teammates, you kind of get used, like if you're a receiver, you kind of know all the DBs on your team, their tendencies. So it might be a little bit easier to react to what they're going to do. Whenever you're going to these camps and kind of getting reps against different people, you prepare yourself better for a variety of different looks. Long story short, I think it's something that's super beneficial. If you have the opportunity, get out to Fort Worth Christian, participate in this camp. I think it's going to be a great time and very, very beneficial. But that being said, Walker, unless there's anything else, that is what we have for the introduction. So now let's get right into the transfer news. And we'll start with the biggest thing that we've had since we last recorded. Some blockbuster news, something that we can now report on as it's official. Gavin Parkhurst and Jacob Maynard, the quarterback and the linebacker, and probably the two best players from the state champion Trinity Valley School, are moving to Fort Worth All Saints. Walker, this is huge. We know All Saints it's probably looking to reload after losing Keldon Ryan to DeSoto, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But this is big. We've said for a long time, Parkhurst is one of the more underrated college prospects in the entire state. That kid is a baller. Jacob Maynard as well, just an absolute headhunter at linebacker. Dude, this is big. What are your kind of knee-jerk reactions to this huge move within private schools?
yeah, the first thing I really want to talk about is the two quarterbacks leaving private school to go to DeSoto. You know, that we always talk about, oh, private school can't do this, private school can't do that. And I know Keldon's a little bit different because he only did 1 year in private school. But the fact that DeSoto left, they're Sam Houston State quarterback and DJ Bailey, they're like, all right, where do we go next? And they decided to go to the two of the best young guys in private school to come to replace them, I think speaks a lot to the just role of that private school has of talented athletes. I just want to say that. But Keldon, thank you for a great year at All Saints. Best of luck to you at DeSoto. And for legend, man, it hurts to see you go for seeing watching you grow. But best of luck at DeSoto and whatever. If that's where you after, I guess, if legend leaves, if you get the starting job, whatever, how that goes. But best of luck to you both. Going after that is okay. You have the most massive hole, probably quarterback wise, in the state now left open. Of all right, what do? And you know, Coach Beck is that dude, and he found the best guy in Fort Worth in getting him to Fort Worth All Saints and Gavin Parkhurst. Gavin Parkhurst is a guy that, finally, shout out Connor McQueen, offering him to go to an Incarnate Word. That's a huge offer for him to start that process. But I'm not saying he is, but he has the kind of the mold of like the Josh Allen type where he's a taller guy. He can throw the ball, but he is also really, really good at using his legs as well. The dual threat athlete that he is different than Keldon, where Keldon's much more faster, but it is hard to take down Gavin Parkhurst in open field. And I think that's a big thing for them. And depending on who their running back is going to be next year with what's the kid, Reed Watkins leaving. It's going to be interesting to see what that backfield looks like. But you have him, you have Quamont Williams now, Bryce Anderson. I don't know from, we'll talk about him later, but from SCS, he transferred over there. So you have him maybe at receiver DB. You have a couple guys that he can throw to and let him just go to work. And you're talking about a guy that, like you said, Wes, pretty much offensively single-handedly brought TVS to a state title. And you bring him to 5A, which, I mean, or Division Two, that's huge. Big, big piece for him. And on the defensive side, I forget what his name is, the linebacker for All Saints that now graduated and went to Arkansas State. You replace him. And you know who I'm talking about. I just forget his name on the top of my head. But the linebacker for All Saints who's going to graduate, going to Arkansas State, you need an inside linebacker to just contain it. They've always had a guy, Calvin Shumley, Luke Brockenmeyer back in the day. They've always had a guy in that middle of the field to just dominate. And there's not a better guy in Taps and it's in private school than Jacob Maynard. You bring him over there, and that solidifies the interior defense, which is desperately needed for any private school team. He's smart. We've raved about him since we saw him as a sophomore. So, I mean, those two guys are game changers for All Saints. And it was kind of the thing with, Liberty moving up. They were kind of the favorites to win Taps Division Two this year, and they still are. I mean, this raises it by 1,000. I mean, this is undeniably one of the biggest moves. It's not bigger than whatever Quinn Murphy going to Liberty, because that's just insane. But it's like if any other year, that's the biggest move by far. That is massive that you leave a culture that you've grown up in and you want a state title in, and you're kind of like, all right, what's the next step? And you want to go bigger and go better, and you go to All Saints and you're gonna dominate there. It's gonna be fun to watch.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about. Because the second that we got a message, probably, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, that this was probably gonna happen. Like literally the direct message came in within 7 seconds. I'm not kidding you. Walker and I called each other and we were like, holy crap. And I think one of the first things that was brought up is why? What's the reasoning here? And it's obvious, Walker being in Fort Worth, you brought up a good point that kind of the school for athletics, the premier school in Fort Worth. In that area is All Saints for sure. But we were basically just talking and we were saying TVS is far and away the favorite in 3A to go back and win it again this year. So we're like, why go? And if you had that in the bag, why move up? It's because it's that premier stage. It's not to say that, Taps is greater than SBC or five or Taps D2 is better, but All Saints, like you mentioned, is kind of that premier atmosphere to go and do it. And I think it's just another layer of elevation for these guys to see if they can do it on an even bigger stage. And I say go ahead and try. I mean, it now makes All Saints, especially with Liberty moving up and kind of leaving a power vacuum. I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone that's even really close right now. We'll get more information as the season, as we get closer to the season, but this is gigantic. I'm a huge fan of Gavin Parker. So I don't think people even really understand how talented he is as a runner as well. It's deceiving. He doesn't look like he's got blazing track speed, but that sucker is tough. I can't tell you how many plays I watched in like the two games that I watched him where he just single-handedly made plays on his feet, escaping pressure around the pocket, or just putting his head down and running. That kid is fantastic. Maynard as well. All that to say, it's huge. It's a division shaping move, and I cannot wait to see how those two guys compete in Taps Division Two. But that's going to be really interesting. On the point of Keldon Ryan and Legend Howell going to DeSoto, I was thinking about saying this, but there's going to be some pushback, like, oh, like how could those guys leave? Yada yada yada. If you have the opportunity and these coaches think you're good enough to go compete at the best program in the state right now, anyone would take that deal. It's like that Inglourious Basterds meme. Like,
I'll
take
take
that
that
deal.
though.
Yeah, I take that deal.
I don't blame you.
damn good deal. But yeah, I mean, that's the way I look at it. And I think anyone in those kids' shoes, keep in mind, two of the best, well, I'm not underclassmen anymore for Legend. That's crazy to say, as of 26 is going to be a junior, but
Yeah.
two of the best quarterbacks in the state having an opportunity to go and compete at the biggest stage. Hats off to them. Wish them nothing but luck. Cannot
Oh,
wait
yeah.
to see. Hopefully, one of those guys take the reins next year and lead one of the best programs in the state as a private school alum. But that being said, let's move on to some other news. DC, surprise, surprise, is reloading as always. They're getting wide receiver Chance Abels and another receiver, Dylan Turner, both from Nauman Forest and Garland. I went and watched tape on both of these guys. Long story short, they're good. They're really, really good. Chance Abels has it listed that he runs around a 4.440. He's 6'3", 175. He's long. He's lanky. He's got really good footwork for a guy that's 6'3", which you don't see a whole lot. He's going to be really impressive. Dylan Turner, to me, he's Corey Taylor 2.0. He's going to fill those shoes very, very nicely. And basically, it just means that DC is primed to go out and win Division III again. I don't know who's going to come close to them. You got Kearney throwing to him. You have so many athletes around the field. There will be more kids that come in before the season. Walker, I have to ask, is Dallas Christian Trinity Christian Cedar Hill now?
Don't make me say that.
Let me preface this by saying not all the flair and the semantics of Dion and all the stuff that people hated Cedar Hill for, but the ability to constantly reload with top talent. It's kind of a it's a deceiving question because there's a lot more of that around private school now than there
Yeah.
was back in the day. It's much more commonplace, but it I mean it's a blueprint and it's working very well for them.
I mean, maybe I hate it because we have friends over there at DC, but the fact is the fact that you can replace Speedy Nettles, who grew up through your program, at least from a sophomore to a senior, and you replace him with a TCU commit who's just insanely good. That's insane. I don't even think you have that at Parrish, to be honest. Like, you don't replace Andrew Paul with another guy going that big. That's just how DC does. And I mean, it's going to be interesting to see it because, you know, I mean, you have now 4-star Luke Kearney at the helm throwing against 3-4-star Chance Abels. I mean, pray for Division III again for the whatever fifth, sixth time in a year. I mean, it's going to be deadly, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people will look at Kearney's elevation to a 4-star that aren't familiar with private schools, be like, oh, that doesn't make a whole ton of sense. He just kind of looks like a private school quarterback. I mean, you have to watch the tape. Not only can he throw the ball so well, but he's such a great athlete. He's got a brother running track at Arkansas. You can tell the genes are there. That kid can run too. I mean, long story short, it's DC is going to be very good. Surprise to anyone that follows. DC is going to be good. They're going to be the favorites in TAPS D3 again.
Yep. It is what it is. We've known this for years. You've known this for decades. It's DC. DC's gonna DC, you know?
Yeah, no, trust me, I'm more than familiar with it. But moving on, we have DJ Beasley and Bryce Anderson to North Crowley and Fort Worth All Saints. Walker, this is obviously more your territory, but a bright side is Robert Jones is coming into Southwest Christian, a guy that we liked a lot. We saw him live. It really stood out to me in that 2022 playoff game against Nolan. What are your thoughts on the movements out and into SCS?
Those are my guys. And, you know, being able to watch these guys for the past couple of years, I met DJ when he was an eighth grader and on the sideline of one of the SCS games and being like, he's going to be like, hey, I'm going to be that guy. And he's turned out to be, for both of them. I mean, it sucks, you know, like DJ was going to be probably our first Division I talent, true Division I, maybe Power Five talent from SCS who grew up through there. And you know, it sucks. But do I tell a kid who wants to go to North Crowley, which is the premier program in Fort Worth right now, not to go? Absolutely not. It's the same thing with DeSoto. If you believe that you can go there and play and dominate, I mean, there's no all power to you. Go and dominate, get recruited, play at the highest level. We're talking about a team that made the semifinals in 6A D1 last year. Like that's not a slouch. That is a And all these college coaches go through that program. It makes sense that he had to go there. I understand. Go dominate All love to you. Wish you the best, man. Go get recruited. And hey, if you want to come back your senior year, come on by. But for Bryce's sake, I mean, I get it too. You know, going there, you're going to replace kind of the Kevin Dotter type of role at DB's safety. And at 6'3", very lanky, he can be a guy who gets easily recruited when college coaches come by there. So for both moves, I understand the reasoning. I wish them both the best. And, you know, come on by if you want to come back, DJ. But yeah, best of luck to both of y'all. Go get recruited. Go play at the next level. For Robert Jones, I mean, that's awesome. I love Robert Jones. We've talked about it forever since his sophomore year when we were watching him. We're like, oh, this is sick. This is gonna be awesome. And having a combination of him and Bourque Tolder, the other 2026 running back, having the combination of them in backfield, SES relies on the run more than anyone probably in the state. Maybe than like Shiner. But when we're talking about a higher level, no one runs the ball more truly than SES, I believe. And having them in the backfield keeps the pressure off of Wyatt Aberhoff and the offensive line. So I think having them as a dual back system is going to be huge for SES. And I think it's a big, big piece for us. So I'm excited to see how they do next year.
Absolutely. And moving on, we got an interesting quarterback battle taking place at Fort Worth Christian following Luke Dodd, 2024 graduating. We got Ty Johnson from Birdville coming in, Landon Giglaudia, something like that,
Yeah,
coming in
sure.
from Brock, and then Timmy Wright from Timber Creek. So Walker, we got three guys that are coming in battling. I don't know if there is one guy that's kind of leading that race. What are your thoughts on those three guys coming into FWC?
I mean, Timmy Wright might be the guy who's leading at the moment. He spent this past year under, Luke Dodd, right, coming in from Timber Creek. So he spent 1 year at Fort Worth Christian playing receiver, I believe. So he probably knows the system the best and, all that. But I don't know anything about the other two guys. I know that the guy rated Landon from Brock very high. I think number three in 2026 in private school. So he thinks the world of this guy. And I mean, if that's true, and I'll watch the tape, but that's probably right. I mean, he does know ball. So then if he's probably the guy who's probably the most talented of the three, then it's gonna be interesting to see who pulls out there. But man, it's good to always see a pretty good quarterback always at Fort Worth Christian. They've always had a guy or two that kind of lays the foundation of a good program there at Fort Worth Christian with Dodd. Oh my goodness. Tyler Cannott back in the day, Trevor Andrews. They've always had a dude there at quarterback at Fort Worth Christian, and one of these guys is going to take the reins from Dodd to be that dude at Fort Worth Christian.
But yeah, no, especially with Cade Crawford coming back, the 26, who I am a huge fan of. That dude
Tucker
can
Ashford,
straight up.
too.
Yeah, exactly. No, Fort Worth Christian's going to be they're going to be good this year, I think. I think, they took their lumps a little bit, but I think they're a team that can really, really play in D2. It'll be interesting. I think there's a lot of things going right in the North Richland Hills, and it'll be cool to see how that develops. But moving on, we got some more stuff. I'll just kind of run through the list and give some general thoughts on all of them as a collective. We got Andrew Lockie to Parrish that kind of fills out their offensive line. Jesus Martinez to TCS Lubbock. Some Keller kids are coming into Liberty. Marshall Tucker into Frisco Legacy and Quincy Reams into First Baptist. I'll talk first about Quincy Reams to First Baptist. This is really, really interesting to me because I liked Quincy a lot when I saw him in the spring at Dunn, and then also at our quarterback camp. He's a great athlete. And if anyone knows how to develop quarterbacks, it is Jason LaVorn. I think that's going to be really interesting. What's interesting to me is Quincy going to start at quarterback, or is George Agonistis the really, really good, what is he?
Linebacker.
Is he a 20, yeah, 27
Yes.
quarterback who played linebacker? That's what I'm really intrigued because George proved that he can play linebacker at a really high level as a freshman. So, Walker, I'm kind of curious on your thoughts because George is really good, Quincy's really good. How do you think that's going to play out? Maybe they can play two quarterbacks at once and then just directional snap it to everyone they feel like.
I mean, that's what LaVorn said in the whatever this state game or no in the interview. Shout out Waverly West for that interview. He literally says on the thing where he's like, yeah, like I mean, we could do that. It's in our playbook. And I went, what do you mean by that? Like, you can't do that. That's not allowed. But like, that's I mean, LaVorn is a wizard and that offense is going to be deadly. And whoever is at quarterback, they're going to have the easiest time of their life throwing to Dominic Sanu-Robinson, Caleb Mitchell, and the 27, who I'm also excited about, but that was hurt in the state game last year. Last year. is that, I mean, they're gonna have the time of their life thrown to those guys at D4. I really am excited about Quincy Reams though, because Quincy is a guy that we really liked when we was at when we were at the quarterback retreat last summer. We were like, okay, this kid's got the size, he has a good arm, like he can be something in Division Two. And you know, Bishop Dunn just wasn't great this year. And I think this move for him, for his recruitment, is going to be awesome. And I'm really excited to see Quincy under LaVorne and see if he can be the guy. And if you can, I'm not saying George can't play quarterback because he absolutely can, but if you can keep him also just on that side of the field, a linebacker, whoo, man, that's going to be a deadly team this year.
Absolutely. I remember whenever I was watching First Baptist versus Lubbock Christian, when that game got out of hand, they put George in, and George made a, I'm still so mad about it because I don't think the video of the tweet ever went through. He threw an absolute, I don't know whether to call it a bomb or a dime because it was both. Bime, dom, I don't know. But he just absolutely sailed this ball to, I forget who it was. I want to say it was, no, I think it was Dominic Sadu Robinson. You know, makes it easy to throw to, but the throw wasn't easy at all. All that to say, they've got a really good problem to have at First Baptist, picking between two really good quarterbacks. It's going to be a fun time to see how that develops out. Marshall Tucker to Frisco Legacy is also really big. A very, very talented defensive lineman at Prestonwood goes to Frisco Legacy, a team that is quietly building up a really, really good roster, even losing guys like Wes Norris, like
Yeah, you replace Wes with him.
yeah, that's gonna turn out really, really well. What are your thoughts on how that's gonna work out, how Marshall Tucker's gonna shape out at Legacy?
When you look at it, you're like, okay, that's a Division One lineman. He has everything you when you look at an off defensive lineman, 6'3"-ish, edge rusher. Like he looks like it. He has to play like it. And I don't know how. I haven't watched the film from past year, and I don't know if he does. But I really love this Frisco move, having Sam Jones behind him, and they have a talented young guys coming up. I really think this Frisco team can be something special. Frisco is gonna be a team that we're really excited about next year, which is crazy after a couple of years of them, and they've kind of resurged. And shout out Doug Hicks, Coach of the Year for a reason. I do want to mention one last thing on those guys. Jesus Martinez is a guy that we've heard somewhat about through some sources being like, hey, this kid at TCS Lubbock is going to be pretty dang good. You need to watch out for him. So that's going to be an underrated guy that, you know, in D3 might cause some chaos a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's cool to be able to talk about this. Like I know, like I've said before, people have mixed opinions on transfers and all that, but it's really interesting to sit here in the off season and see, kind of draw a map where kids are going, how this is going to impact various teams. It's cool. It brings another dimension to the sport. It makes it feel kind of like college and the pros and like free agency in a sense. It's just it brings another aspect to it that I enjoy talking about. But yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, seeing how all these guys shake out at these new teams, especially going back to Frisco Legacy, I think if you see what they did last year with all the exact same kids, with Doug Hicks and Jake Mackey and all of them really developing them, having some new guys come in, I mean, I think they're poised to do really well in that district, and it'll be interesting. All the districts have gotten shaken up. We'll detail that in our preview, but I think they're poised to do very well.
Yeah, I was thinking about it in my head of doing like, you know, a coaching carousel, like map of like where everyone goes, doing that for private school of like where everyone ends up everywhere. I think it would be cool. But yeah, I think Frisco is gonna be an underrated team. And hey, Regis always has to deal with the South, but having them in district, right? No, they're not. They're in SCS's district now. So yay. I guess
Yeah,
that's how I should
exactly.
say it. So hey, that whatever. All Saints Frisco game next year is gonna be pretty fun.
Absolutely. No, it certainly will. But all that being said, that's kind of the news that we have in the transfer portal. We will come back and maybe do another episode if a bunch of new news breaks. But that's kind of our transfer recap for where we are at this point in early March. Happy March Madness to all who celebrate. It is officially upon us. All right. And before we get to our way too early top 10 rankings, we're going to take a second and do something that we haven't done in a couple of years. We used to do this, but we're going to go through the Texas Private School Football Guys rankings. He does a fantastic job, the best of anyone that I've seen in the state, of going through and ranking players. I really can't imagine how long this takes and how much effort goes into it, but it's truly a fantastic feat. But we're going to do the easy work and kind of look at the list, give our kind of bullet point thoughts on who's there and where they are, and basically in the top 10, top 15, and give some commentary on it. We're going to start with class of 2025 quarterbacks. And looking at this, the first takeaway is how much dadgum talent there is, not even counting 26s. These are kids that are going to be seniors coming up. We got Sawyer Anderson at number one, Keldon Wright at number two, who has since transferred to DeSoto, Luke Carney, number three, Gavin Parker's number five, and then Charlie Peters, or Gavin Parker's four, and then Charlie Peters, number five. So, Walker, we've got the list in front of us. We have the top 15. Anything stick out to you just on impact looking at the list?
I mean, you're talking about, and then if you add, if you think about it, man, Roy Thomas Jenkins to this list. So you have Sawyer, Carney, Parkhurst, of guys we really cover, and then Roy Thomas. That's a solid four at the top. And I don't know if it competes with the other years, but I mean, that's pretty dang good. Those are all four guys that are Division I offered. And I mean, I think Sawyer definitely is the number one guy, but I mean, Carney is also that dude now. And I think those two are going to be awesome to watch this year. Parkhurst is another guy we've talked all about. And I think Roy Thomas fits into that upper echelon of 2025 quarterbacks. It's going to be fun to watch. Welker Horn is a guy that we love. And, you know, losing him at Lubbock Christian was a huge loss for them. Tanner, and I just want to talk about a couple other guys. And I'm glad they make the list and like how good this class is. Tanner Huckfeld is a guy. He's a dude, man. It's a big piece of that Concordia team. Garrett Tyser is a guy I'm really excited to watch this year. Jake Jerky, David Campobianco is a guy. He had a rough kind of state championship game, but every time I watch him, he's impressive. And Carter Devereaux backs and buys. When you get down to like the second page, and you still have guys like Landon Martinez and Evan Garrett, who's a new Permian transfer for Midland. You have some dudes, man. It's gonna be fun to watch this team grow. And all these guys, man, it's going to be really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. A guy that I'll ride for is Ian Pulte. I think Ian Pulte is at least a top 10 quarterback in 25. And granted, it's easy for me to say sit here and say that when I didn't watch all the film and make the list. But, I mean, just when I went through and watched that kid 2 weeks consecutively at Legacy, I mean, he's very, very talented. His ability to throw on the run is what I took away from watching him. He's very, very good. And the thing is, I didn't know about him until I went and I watched him. That kid is really good. Gibby Alvarado almost cracking the top 10 is a huge W in my opinion. No secret. We love Gibby. Gibby is a fantastic quarterback. People get so hung up on size, I think. And if you look past that, you'll realize that kid is a fantastic quarterback. And, you know, like you said, looking at the top four, Parkhurst absolutely should be a top five. Carney's going to move into that second spot with Keldon Ryan leaving. I think Sawyer Anderson and Luke Carney are 1A, 1B. I mean, Sawyer obviously is one people have known about it because he's been a freshman. Just kind of the heir apparent after Preston Stone left. Carney could step in to a place like Parrish and also do very well. I think the list is incredibly well constructed. Also, Tanner Huckfeldt from Concordia is absolutely deserving of being on that list. Long story short, absolutely chock full of talent in the 2025 class. But that is not the only list we are going to go over. We're now going to move into...
Let's do the running backs.
Yeah, let's do the running backs. So,
you want me to start it out? Top...
Yeah, go ahead.
So, the guy ranked Chase Garnett number one. And when you have a guy like John Kelly number two, and every you look at the offer list and you're like, oh my gosh, how do you not rank John Kelly number one? You haven't seen Chase Garnett play. That's basically how it is.
Let me ask you real quick. Do you agree with this? Do you think that's a good one too? So do I.
I do. I think Chase Garnett, and you can see the offers he comes in daily nowadays of what he's getting in, and it's absolutely deserved. Chase Garnett is a different gear to him when he accelerates. It's insane when he plays. And John Kelly, I think, is absolutely good. The first game I saw him was like right after injury, so I haven't seen prime John Kelly, but like I still think he's absolutely great too. And I think both of them are really, really solid backs. And the fact that the thing about it is, right, those two are great backs and would be in the top 10 of any in the state. And then you have Cole Allen, Brandon Thomas, Caden Collins, Dean Calhoun, and you're getting down to like the bottom. You have Bryce Butler and Mark Rayson. And you could even talk about Tekashi Campworth, who everyone at Fort Bend is really excited about next year. You even go to the next page, right? You have Robert Jones, Mikey Moreno, like, these are dudes, man. And I'm really excited to watch these guys play next year. We have some dudes at the running back spot in private school this year.
Absolutely. I would go as far to say that Chase Garnett's the best back that I've seen since Andrew Paul in private
yeah,
school.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a broken record. The combination of speed and power he brings, I know it's a cliched thing to say when describing running backs, but Chase Garnett is the epitome of that. He's not a guy that relies solely on speed or power. He has this combination of both that I haven't seen since Andrew Paul, a guy that went to Georgia. I think Chase Garnett is absolutely a guy that could go to that level and be very, very, very good. And Cole Allen, Cole Allen's a unicorn. He's a unicorn. It's the only way I can describe him. That dude, whether it's running the ball, every time that you go and watch a St. John's game, you're going to see a SportsCenter top 10 play from Cole
Yep,
Allen. That dude is
100%.
the most he's the most dynamic playmaker on the list,
Oh yeah.
bar none. I mean, he's just absolutely phenomenal. Then Brandon Thomas is almost in that same vein as Cole Allen. He's a guy that can break off these gigantic runs.
Without Brandon Thomas, they don't make state, I don't think, this year. Belair, because he carried them in those Kincaid games and those St. John's games at times, where I think they scored. Like the game before the state championship, I think he scored 5 times in one game. That's the player that Brandon Thomas is, and he's in the running for MVP in SBC next year. He's gonna be insane.
Yeah, another crazy thing is Mark Grayson being a top 15 running back in the state. I think he's a better linebacker than he is a running back. That dude's a freak. He is a heat-seeking missile on the defensive side of the ball. And the fact that he can also run the ball so well, which you have to at a school like First Baptist that's D4. It's great to see these kids realize they don't have to be stuck on one side of the ball to be elite. To be able to be that good on both sides of the ball is fantastic. And I'll end with saying Ben Nagishu, number 8, is absolutely deserving of being in the top 10. He is such a good player. All I'd heard when I went to TVS was stories about how much time he spent in the weight room in the offseason to get himself in shape to play. I mean, it just shows when he plays. He is so dadgum strong. The pairing of him and Parkhurst in the backfield, I'm sure he will get a bigger role now with Parkhurst moving up to All Saints. Just absolute bowling ball of a running back. And I'm excited to see how he performs in the coming year. But I think now, Walker, we move on to 25 defensive line, starting with Max Granville at number 1, Henry Estes at number 2, Jack Harwell at number 3, Max Supley at number 4, and then Trevon Edmond at number 5. So, I'm going to start off by saying is I think Jack Harwell could be at least number 2 on this list. I am a broken record. I'm a huge Jack Harwell fan. Henry Estes is fantastic. I just think Jack Harwell, I haven't seen somebody as big as he is, and he's a house. He's a gigantic dude. Move as explosively and quick as he does. He's fantastic.
That's a guy that you don't need to look at the stats, just watch film. Whew. When you watch film of him, it's insane. And that's another guy I need to go by. Henry, we will be by St. Mark's this spring because we need to see you in person because you are an absolute mountain of a man. I want to see you play ball. Max Greville,
What do we have to say?
we don't need to say anything. He knows we love him, and he's go to A&M, please. For the
Hey,
other guy,
I will say I have to bring back the Max Granville story every once in a while, just because I have to give my I know ball moment. But
oh, absolutely.
I remember going to the Fort Bend playoff game against St. Michael's his freshman year in 2021, and just watching the game. And just watching this kid, this small kid at linebacker make play after play after play. And I went up to him after the game to get a headshot. And I'm like, "You're a freshman?" He's like, "Yeah," because he's still, a soft-spoken freshman. And I was like, "That kid's gonna be really good." I didn't know he would turn out to be Max Granville good, but again, just a little I know ball moment. But Max has been so elite for so
Hey,
long.
Billy, if we don't, I think we should break his commitment, in my opinion. I'm just putting that out there. You don't have to. You have all the 247 because he's big time now. But hey, guys who started it should finish it. I would love to break his commitment live on TXPS Media. But going to the other guys, Max Supley's a dude. If you watch the tape, he's also really, really fun to watch. Dalton Knapp as well. The combination of Knapp and Robinette next year is going to be awesome to watch. More edge versus more like kind of a strong side DN. I think that's the correct term of like he just is a house on one side of Robinette. And guys like, I mean, Andrew Michaels and where in the world is, I guess he put him at linebacker, but Maddox Sakiri, I would put him more defensive line than he is linebacker, but He's also a dude. Marshall Tucker, we've talked all about. Joseph Trickett as a guy that looks the part, but I never saw him play at Houston Christian. But also, number 17, Michael Fowler is a guy. If you watch the film, holy cow, it's 6'3. He's going to be fun to watch. We put him all private school third team this past year because he had a great year. I'm excited to see him this year. Couple other guys, I'll mention just their names. Tyler Soskarski's a dude. Landry Sattler in the middle of that Paris defensive line is a dog. And guys like Trey Slangen is going to be a guy for that St. Thomas defensive line. It's going to be really, really good. But yeah.
Well, Walker, if you go to number 19, Samuel Valenzuela, is
Yes.
that? I'm guessing that's your picture.
That might be. I don't know. I really
I was about
don't
to say,
know.
I'm trying to think. Maybe not. I was going to say that's if it is, I think that's the best looking picture out of anyone on the list. But I wanted to give you props if
Thank
that was
you.
yours.
Thank you.
But that being said, a ton of talent in on the defensive line, obviously in the class of 25 in private schools. Let's flip back to the offensive side of the ball. For class of 25 wide receivers, I just realized I was on the wrong list. So let me scoot up a little bit. Okay. Number one, Quentin Brown. The top two, the crazy thing is two out
Would
of the
you?
top.
Yeah, who'd you? Okay, let's the top five. Quinn Brown, Brady Janiusik, Caleb Mitchell, Jalen Hawkins, Bryson Fields. First of all, three of the five are Liberty guys. Just want to make that known. Secondly, Wes Tolleson, who do you have as your number one guy in 25?
Coming from an ex receiver, as you can see behind me in that
Yeah.
glorious picture. Man, that's tough. It
Yep.
is. I'm gonna say Brady Janiusik. Brady just maybe. I understand why Quentin's there
Yeah.
because
Track
Quentin's
times,
speed is
baby.
something you can't teach. Again, it's not football speed; it's track speed, and you see that he's running sub 11. He's running like I wanted to say he ran like a 10.8. Something that might be, it might be even faster than that. I think it is even faster than that. Just
10
absolutely
5.
speed that we haven't seen in a long time. The reason why I say Brady is Brady has, he has it. And if you've played football and if you've watched football, you know what it is. And you know, I can't describe to you
Yeah.
what it is. It's this innate ability to make plays, to find the football, and just to flat out not get tackled. Not to say that Quentin Brown doesn't have it, because he absolutely does. Brady, though, has it on a level that maybe two or three guys I've seen in 4 years covering it has. I think Brady is the best receiver on this list. And rounding it, first of all, Max Granville coming in as a top seven receiver.
Dude, it's so
And
true, though.
right after we mentioned him, he is right after we mentioned him as the number one defensive lineman in the class. But he is, the crazy thing is he's such a good athlete.
Yeah.
You just give him the ball and he makes plays. But
I remember watching the TWCA game and they had him on a screen and he caught a screen and he took it 60 yards to the house. That's just who he is. He's a pure athlete. And they did the same
how
thing
many
against
defensive linemen in the state can you throw
no one.
a tunnel or a bubble screen to and they house it? It's
It's
ridiculous.
you know, you always have those things that like 7-on-7 things where like, oh, I'm a defensive lineman, but I'm receiver at heart. No. Max Granville is that dude, and he can play both. I also want to give a shout out to Cole Allen, running back and receiver list. I mean, he's that dude, and he's so versatile. He's a Swiss Army knife. But the fact is that like you can go to 20 and you could talk about division like dudes, right? Tyler Curry, Division One offered, Ty Bradley, Division One offered. Jordan Manuel, I think, has a Division One offer. Q does too at number 10. Claudio Torres is a guy we've heard about for years at Brownsville St. Joseph, who's an absolute dog. TJ Smith is fast. Garen Sampson was a great receiver last year. There's guys all the way down to 20 that are absolute dudes for this in the wide receiver group. This might be one of the deepest years at receiver we've had in the past couple of years, where even Carson Darby and Bryson Fields are dudes at Parrish. I keep saying dudes, but like there's so many of them, man, this year.
It's really one of the only words you can use to describe them. I will say before we get off of receivers, I have to talk about Jalen Hawkins because I feel like
Yeah.
he has a tendency to get overshadowed because of how good guys like Quentin Brown and Brady Janiusik are. That kid is just as good. He's incredibly fast. I think he's running on their relays and just absolutely killing it. But he has that track speed. He has that ability in the open space to just make plays and score. He absolutely, seeing him top five on this list, I think is beautiful because I think there might be a tendency making these lists to be like, oh, like I don't think I can, because we do the same thing. Oh, I don't know if we can put that many Liberty guys top five. I salute the guy for being like, no, he is he
Yes.
Liberty has three guys in the top four. And I'm going to do it that way, which is very much true, which is, you know, why they blew everyone out this season. But
And
that being said,
he had Cole
though,
Welliver thrown to him, man.
I just it's not even fair, honestly. But that being said, now let's move on to 25 offensive
Lime.
line,
Oh,
Walker's
yeah.
wheelhouse. We got, well, you know, Walker, you take the top five away.
Yeah. This is a year of, like, I think this is the deepest it's been in a very long time. The fact that Diego Dela Cruz, I love him and Bothwell. Like, it was a fight to the death in my mind of, like, who do you put for offensive lineman of the year? Both of them were 1A, 1B, and both are big, massive offensive linemen who can move extremely well. Joshua Moses is committed to A&M for a reason. He's big bodied. He moves well at camps. He's the camp guy that everyone loves. And I get why A&M he just offered him and he committed. It's going to be interesting. I just don't know much about him. I haven't watched him play. But Diego is a guy, if I could make it down to Brownsville, St. Joseph, and watch this dude play, I absolutely would. Those two, him and Bothwell, are absolute dogs. Anthony Pellerin, I've said it since his sophomore year. He is the best center prospect in TXPS and one of the best center prospects in the state. He's an absolute dude. RJ Lee is a guy that, I mean, at number six, we're talking about a guy that is Division One offered at number six in private school, and 6'8", now maybe 6'9", supposedly. He's a mountain of a man, and he has been dominated, and he's so athletic for his size as well. A couple other guys I'll mention. Victor Kankaba from Austin Brentwood is a guy I watched tape about for this offensive lineman of the year in D4. He's a dude, man. He moves really, really well. Jake Glisson is another St. Thomas guy that is impressive. Hudson Dalton is a guy from Aledo, I believe, that transferred Fort Worth All Saints this past year. Is going to be awesome. Keithan Smith is a guy that, at his size, shouldn't move the way he does, but he does, and he's insane. Owen Belson is another ESD guy I'm really excited about. Alex Losada, which is funny. That is my photo for Alex Losada. It sucks because when you do the portrait mode, it blacked out part of his eye, and I feel bad for that. But really good player. I'm excited to see him more this year. TJ Walker, even when you have Nathan Humphrey from Liberty all the way down to 27, man, that's when you know this class is deep. Tucker Goodall at 32, Wild Childress from St. John's is 36. Dang, man, this is a good team. And our D4 offensive lineman of the year, 44, Ben Tillery. That's Jose Lerma too at 41. This is a, oh my goodness. I'm going down the list and I'm just like seeing how many dudes we have in here, man. There's some dudes, man. That's the offensive line is deep this year.
Absolutely. And I got to give a shout out to 51 Luke Wilson and 42 Colton Masters from Grace Community. Not Tyler Grace, Grace Community. But, oh yeah, Luke Wilson. We got to get Luke Wilson's number out. 51 is crazy. That dude's got to be top 30 at least. But that being said, that is the offensive line. Let
We
me.
did miss one, and I have to talk about it, is linebackers in
Oh
25.
yeah.
It's a little bit down. I don't know if we had, like, we talk about a lot of deep. I don't know if linebacker has ever been this deep ever in TXPS. The fact that you have, what is that? You could talk about eight guys, not maybe, I don't know, nine that can go Division One this year. Truly. CJ, Grayson, and Jacob are two, three elite linebacker prospects we've ever had in private school. CJ, track times galore, sideline to sideline is a menace. Grayson Boker is athletically one of the, like, insane linebackers I've ever seen. There's a reason Baylor offered him when he went on his camp. He's a dude at 6'3". I mean, he's a, I don't know what else to say. He is a dude. And Jacob Manor, we've talked about him all day. Insane athlete. And Maddox Sakiri, I guess he will play linebacker more, but we had a more defensive line last year, but he definitely makes the top of that list. Bryce Butler changing because he's grown so much from running back to linebacker and doing it with 122 tackles this year. Insane year, man. Dominic Van is a 6'2 linebacker from Grace Prep who doesn't get enough shine as some of these other guys, but he's an athletic freak. I love him. Sam Williams as well. John Carr and Cooper Davis at St. Thomas are going to take the reins from Tyler Day and dominate this year. And there's even guys like, I like Lawson Watkins, Jack Burkle, Jake Shaddix won our linebacker of the year this year. There's dudes at linebacker this year. I'm very excited. Shout out my boy Colton Cook from SES at 34. Should be higher.
No, absolutely. Yeah, you pretty much said it all. I've got to give a shout out to whoever took that picture of CJ Whitten, because I don't know how you get that shot in that low
Yeah.
of light, but that is a beautiful shot. Also, Maddox Sakiri. I'm talking a lot about Liberty. It might be because I've got the state champion shirt on. I feel a bit of imposter syndrome when I wear this shirt around, because number one, it's incredibly comfortable. So I usually just throw it on to go work out or something. But I also feel like it's kind of like a stolen valor type situation, because I think, yeah, someone's going to come up to me eventually and be like, oh, I didn't like your state champion. I was like, no, I just covered them like five times that year and they decided to give me a shirt. But long story short, Maddox Sakiri is an absolute dog. Playing him and the boogeyman, Max Saul, were an absolute force this year. And yeah, I mean, you said it. These linebackers in 25 might be the deepest class, maybe outside receiver, because receiver is just absolutely ridiculous. But
Yep.
let us move up. To let's go to
DBs.
DBs. Yeah, let's go to DBs. So we got Joseph Smith from Legacy School of Sports Sciences at number one. Brady Janusik makes his second consecutive number two ranking. Number three is Ethan Dishman from Second Baptist. Number four is David Madison, who I love from Prestonwood. Number five is Blake Stovall Jr. from Fort Worth All Saints. So
Who I believe is
walk.
also transferred to DeSoto, by the way.
Oh, well, there we go. So then we'll move Nick Blevins from Liberty, who's also a dog, into that spot. And also Mark Rayson. Yeah, I guess Rayson does play more of a DB role. I said he was a linebacker. He kind of plays that hybrid role. You can really put him anywhere on the defensive side of the ball, and he's a
Yeah.
menace. But Walker, another just ton of absolutely elite prospects. I haven't seen, now granted, we don't, Legacy School of Sports Sciences doesn't really fall into our domain of coverage. So I'm going to go out and say that I think Janusik is number one, just because of, like I mentioned, the ever looming it factor. Dude just goes and makes play. There is no one on this list that comes close to making the plays that Brady Janusik does.
Yeah. He has the it factor. He has the intangibles. He has the athleticism, and he has like the knowledge and football IQ to where to be. You have him at safety, and Nick Blevins at corner is. And he, I saw something. My old boss Jason Howell, shout out to him, love him, went by Liberty the other day and said he might move to linebacker because he's so big now. Which I mean, at the next level, I totally see why. But the fact that you can lock down one side of the field, which he did this year, and then move to linebacker because you're that athletic, he is that dude. But the guy that I really want to talk about is Ethan Dishman, and he's a guy that kind of stood out to me when I watched him against St. John's this past year on a Thursday. But that whole game was rough. It was like 14-0 final. It was a rough game. But he's a guy that when he went to the next level D1 camp down in Houston, showed out and was their DB MVP, and that's with like Division One guys around Houston. He showed out that much, and I think that's a guy that is an under the radar guy from Second Baptist, deserves more love, and I wanted to shout him out there. Guys like DC Crane, who've been there forever. Guy Stern was our DB of the year. Nick Wheeler is a dude that definitely shows out on film, and a guy D2 DB of the year, Utah Anderson, with 100 tackles from the safety spot, is another great player, and a guy who's going to probably replace Braylon Thompson is that dude in the DB spot. Christian Houston is a guy that really stood out to me as well.
You know something I just figured out from this list?
What?
First Baptist has another done transfer coming in.
Who?
Bradley Mays,
Oh, really?
who I was a huge fan of when I watched. I think Quincy brought him to the camp. He's 6'1", 160, just a great long lanky target. Yeah, he's ranked number 49 on the DB spot. The guy has him listed from Dallas First Baptist. So if that's true and they're coming over, that is another huge pickup for
Yeah.
First Baptist. That's going to make them far and away the favorites in D4, as if they weren't already. But that's also really, really big. And I'm trying to think if I was going to say anything else regarding this. Oh yeah, David Madison. David Madison is 6'1", 170, plays corner for Prestonwood. That he's got a Michigan State offer. That is a Division One cornerback. That dude, just from an intangible standpoint, he's so long, he's so lanky, he just flat out makes plays. You can man, he's a guy, he's so valuable to have because you can man him up on pretty much anyone's best receiver and not really
Yeah.
have to worry about it that much. I mean, he's a fantastic player. DC Crane at number nine is also a fantastic athlete. Tyler Curry, both sides of the ball, just an elite playmaker. Yeah, DBs also very, very stacked this year. Let me move up. I think the last thing that we're going to let's do 2026 quarterbacks and then 26 linebackers.
You want to do linebackers?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Let's start with 26 quarterbacks. We got Quinn Murphy of Argyle Liberty at number one, Keyshawn Henderson of
That's
what
Legacy
is
School of
that?
Sports
Legacy
Sciences.
School Sports Sciences at number two, Landon Gigliotta from Fort Worth Christian at number three, Cannon Toon from Second Baptist at number four, and Isaiah Gatlin from Cornerstone at number five. So, Walker, another stacked class, obviously headlined by the recent transfer, Quinn Murphy. Your thoughts on what we're looking at junior quarterbacks?
Quinn Murphy is the best 2026 quarterback in the state. Period. I think private
Okay.
and public, I think he's the best quarterback in the state. I don't know who competes. Keyshawn Henderson is the guy that I don't know who they're recruiting him at the next level, more of an athlete like receiver or quarterback. I don't really know. But I mean, I've been told he is a phenomenal athlete every time I've been like everyone talks about him. So I mean, that makes sense. I don't know Gigliotta, but it makes sense that he's up there if the guy ranks him. Cannon Toon is a guy that 6'4", came into the season not thinking it was going to start and then had to start. And I think a season and an offseason under belt, I think it's going to be really, really good. Braden Jennings is a guy who watched the film. He is impressive at Brentwood Christian. Gavin Sisneros that from Brownsville St. Joseph is in another long line of guys who are just throw for 5,000 yards a season down there in Brownsville, and you're like, wait, what? And then he's just another guy, which I believe, I mean, they have the last name, so I'm gonna guess he's the younger brother of Luke Sisneros, who won our Offensive Player of the Year a couple years ago. I'm gonna guess that. And then our ultimate ball moment of the year is Santiago Fernandez from John Cooper. Yeah, I really like Santiago at that size, and he's athletic as well. He's going to be a good player. Jack Malone is a guy that, I mean, I really think he can come into his own this year. Just this year for I don't know, this year for Fort Bend was just rough all around. And I think him another year under his belt is going to be really good. Luke Glass, another tall quarterback from Prestonwood Christian. I mean, what more do you want? 6'5". And then a guy who I'm really excited about, Shea Quinn, is the going to be the successor to Stephen Gill at St. John's. I've seen him throw. He's impressive in person. I think that's going to be a guy. I believe he's the son of one of the coaches there. I think the OC. And I think, is going to be a big player for them at St. John's. And a couple other guys. Levi Gola, underclassman of the year for us. Austin Cosby over there at Grapevine Faith is a guy that we've been seeing more and more about. What? Who else? Who else? Cooper Smith. He's a solid player over there at Central Texas Christian. And I think I'm gonna call it there. And for 2026 quarterbacks, that's all I really know.
Yeah, no, then let's move on to 2026 linebackers. Number one, Madden Morgan from Episcopal. Number two, Sam Jones from Legacy. Number three, Colton Roden from John Cooper. Four, Deacon Hiley from Trinity Christian Lubbock. And number five, Chris Houston from Trinity Valley. So, Walker, another list of guys, maybe that some people might be less familiar with, being that they are only rising juniors. Your thoughts on the list?
Yeah, I mean, Madden Morgan is a physical specimen. There's a reason he's number one. I think he has all the tools and intangibles to be that dude in this class. Sam Jones is a guy that the more you watch film and the more you hear about him, you're like, oh, this kid's gonna be good for years to come. I don't know much about these other guys. I'm not gonna lie to you. Jesse Richardson is our underclassman of the year. Came in from somewhere in Keller and dominated this year when Parker Meese left, and he kind of replaced that role and just did it perfectly. William Terry is a guy I have to shout out from Northern Catholic, my hometown. Same with Chris Houston, who's the younger brother of William Houston from Trinity Valley, I'm going to guess. Is an athletic freak as well. Both those guys are going to be awesome for the 817. Jed Hare was an underrated cat we kept watching this year and just made plays. And the fact that he's number 11 is insane. Same with
The
Cade Dioli.
funny thing for me
Yeah.
was with Jet, because for a while, like I hadn't seen I knew to watch for Cooper Witten, but I'd forgotten his number a few times, and I kept watching. And I was like, is Cooper Witten number seven? And I watched, and I was like, well, the number seven's really good. That might be Cooper. And then I
Yeah.
realized, oh no, that's Jet Hare. And then I was like, oh, Jet Hare is a sophomore. But yeah,
Yeah.
that dude may he plays so much above his age. He's gonna be really good for the next couple of years for Liberty.
And the last guy I'll mention from this list is AJ Morrell. And he's a guy that his name kept popping up when we looked at all district lists and made like first or second team all district in D1 as a sophomore. And I don't think he had any film on his huddle and when we were looking at him for underclassmen, but that's a guy that we might have to watch out for this upcoming season. But that's really it. That's all I really know about these guys.
Absolutely. I will say we were scrolling through the guy's media post to find these, and I saw that he posted a screenshot of El Paso by Marty Robbins, and I don't know the context because I can't see the post, but I will give a hat tip to that because that's one of the greatest songs of all time. But that being said, let's move on to our final item on the agenda, our official TXPS way too early top 10. Keep in mind, this is way too early. We're not by any means saying this is how things are going to turn out. It's just kind of our general musings about where we are at this point and who we think is going to come in leading the pack into the season. So, without further ado, our way too early top 10 starts off with number one, Liberty Christian out of Argyle. Number two, Parish Episcopal. Number three, Fort Worth All Saints. Number four, Prestonwood Christian. Number five, Dallas Christian out of Mesquite. Number six, Houston St. Thomas. Number seven, Austin Regents. Number eight, Houston Second Baptist. Number nine is Frisco Legacy Christian. And number 10 is Bel Air Episcopal. Walker, I will say first off that probably the most surprising thing on this list for a lot of people is going to be putting Legacy Christian at number nine. I think there's a lot of recency bias in the past couple of years about how just quite frankly awful Legacy was for about a 2 3 year stretch, but had a great season last year, came out one district, retaining a lot of good playmakers and adding guys like Marshall Tucker in. I think they're a top 10 team, and I think our rankings reflect that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to also remember this is a way too early top 10. We could have a team bring in 10 transfers that are all D1 players, and then boom, they go up the list. But this is kind of from last year, kind of what you expect from some of these teams. Bel Air, you could talk about them being 10th and being what, like second or third for us last season. You lose so many good players, a UCLA quarterback, like that's hard to replace. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they replace these guys. Press, what do you have to replace Tasby? DC, you have to replace Speedy, which they kind of already did. St. Thomas, you have to replace Dante and Johan and Tyler and all these guys. A lot of these teams have to replace. The thing about it is, though, kind of what we thought, the guys at the top don't have to replace as much, if that makes more sense. Where Liberty, Parish, All Saints don't have to replace as much leaving. That's huge for them. And teams like Second Baptist and Regents, I'm really excited for Regents. You have to remember they're up in that new district, but even with Jack Devine, who we think is going to be a dude for them this year, they have a team that went to the state championship last year and they only graduated like five, I think, five or six. So you replace all of them with guys who are supposedly really young and are going to be really good for them. Austin Regents is going to be a team that's going to have to be able to, we're going to have to watch out for this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that kind of rounds it out really well. There's not a ton of extrapolation to be done with the list. It's kind of our thoughts. It's kind of our thoughts of where they are. We'll probably make a graphic out of this and have all of y'all yell at us for how wrong it's going to be. I will say, first team out on this list is Dallas First Baptist. Really wanted to find a way to put them in there. Just maybe if I knew Bradley Mays was there, because we made this, I figured out live Bradley Mays was transferring in. Might have snuck in a spot there, but I mean, First Baptist is just knocking on the door to get in. But long story short, that is our way too early top 10. Yet again, don't take it with a grain of salt. We're still what, like 6 months away from the season starting. Just it's a thing to get people talking. And whenever one of you chirps me on Twitter or Instagram for putting this list out, I'm going to direct you back to this clip of me explaining it's just a preliminary list to get people talking. But that being said, Walker, that is actually all that we have. I have a Duke game to catch in 10 minutes, but I think we're going to make it out before then. Just any closing thoughts, closing comments you want to leave the people with?
People who won the award for the award show, it might take a little bit longer than you think. So, probably be by for spring ball with those awards,
For the
but
awards, yeah.
yeah, for the actual awards. Stay tuned for some stuff we're doing this summer. If we can pull it off, whoo, baby, it's gonna be some fun time. So stay tuned for those announcements. But yeah, go check out Coach Washington's thing, link in the description down below. Subscribe. We're almost to 1,000 followers. Subscribe. Please do that. That would be pretty sick. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me. I'm tired, man. I have to go study for a finance exam.
Yeah, no, all my finals were last week, so I'm kind of riding a high. I will be disappearing into the New Mexican wilderness for a week to go chase some rainbow trout and some brown trout, and hopefully maybe I'll just get lost there and stay there for the next month and you won't see me until football season. But that's
Super.
only in a perfect world. All that being said, thank you as always. The only reason we continue to do this is, number one, because we enjoy it immensely. Number two, because of all the feedback that we get from y'all. Seeing everyone repost the award show and knowing everyone cares that much is why we continue to do it. We're so incredibly grateful for everyone's constant support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, all that being said, as always, I have been one half of your hosting crew. Walker Lott has fantastically been himself. We will see you in the next episode. See you later.